Today is the third day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it's great to be here with you today as we gather around the global campfire and move forward together. So we have moved into a new week. We have moved into a new month. Now, today, because we finished the book of Isaiah yesterday, we're moving into a new book in the Old Testament. We'll also be concluding a letter in the New Testament today, so movement is happening. So when we get to the New Testament, we'll finish the book of Philippians. But now, here at the beginning in the Old Testament, we have reached the beginning of the book of Jeremiah, which is a part of the grouping of books known as the major prophets, just like Isaiah. And Jeremiah is prophesying a couple of decades before and then through the Babylonian attack and conquest, things that we read about when we were reading in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. Jeremiah is a prophetic voice during this time. And as with many prophetic voices and prophetic books that are in the Bible, we have these oracles from God. And so, like with Isaiah, we're jumping around a lot because the things that he had to say were aimed in different directions at different times. So it's not like a linear narrative story. Like this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened. Jeremiah is a book of prophecy, so it's like this as well, but it's intriguing because we get a glimpse more into Jeremiah's mindset, and he does not want to be doing some of the things that he's invited to do, especially at the time that he's invited to do them, and so there's an authenticity to Jeremiah that we get to understand. And we get to see the frustration of a prophet who thinks nobody's listening and he just wants to be released from the mission. And he wasn't just making it up. Israel had turned her back on God. And for more than two decades, Jeremiah was one of the only, if not the only, voice warning the people that the direction they were going in wasn't going to end anywhere good. They were on the wrong path, going in the wrong direction. And this often led Jeremiah to be in conflict with the people. This is a time where there is reasonable prosperity. It doesn't look like there's impending doom. And so if business is good, but there is a doomsayer, then the doomsayer probably isn't good for business. The business people want people to spend their money, right? Not be freaked out that something bad is about to happen. And this kind of went up the chain until powerful enough people were just fed up with Jeremiah and all of his interference. And so we'll watch that even though Jeremiah has frustration and even a tremendous amount of sadness, his loyalty to God remains true. And as it turns out, he was speaking from the Lord and telling the people the truth. Babylon did invade the land in 587 BC. Jerusalem, the holy city, fell. The palace of God that Solomon had made was leveled, completely destroyed. And through it all, Jeremiah is there giving words from the Lord to instruct the people how to navigate what is happening, and they're not listening. So with that, we begin one of the most intriguing prophets in the Bible, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, verse 30 today. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the fifth month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord came to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see the branches of an almond tree," I replied. The Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." The word of the Lord came to me again, "What do you see?" "I see a pot that is boiling," I answered. "It is tilting toward us from the north." The Lord said to me, "From the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms," declares the Lord. "Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshiping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, "Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook them," declares the Lord. "Hear the word of the Lord, you descendants of Jacob, all you clans of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, 'Where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and ravines, a land of drought and utter darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives?' I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce. But you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. The priests did not ask, 'Where is the Lord?' Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, following worthless idols. Therefore, I bring charges against you again," declares the Lord. "And I will bring charges against your children's children. Cross over to the coasts of Cyprus and look. descend to Kedar and observe closely, see if there has ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glorious god for worthless idols. Be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Is Israel a servant, a slave by birth? Why then has he become plunder? Lions have roared. They have growled at him. They have laid waste his land. His towns are burned and deserted. Also, the men of Memphis and Tahpenes have cracked your skull. Have you not brought this on yourselves by forsaking the Lord your God when he led you in the way? Now why go to Egypt to drink water from the Nile? And why go to Assyria to drink water from the Euphrates? Your wickedness will punish you. Your backsliding will rebuke you. Consider then and realize how evil and bitter it is for you when you forsake the Lord your God and have no awe of me, declares the Lord Almighty. Long ago you broke off your yoke and tore off your bonds. You said, I will not serve you. Indeed, on every high hill and under every spreading tree you laid down as a prostitute. I had planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt, wild vine? Although you wash yourself with soap and use an abundance of cleansing powder, the stain of your guilt is still before me, declares the Sovereign Lord. How can you say, I am not defiled, I have not run after the Baals? See how you behaved in the valley. Consider what you have done. You are a swift she-camel running here and there, a wild donkey accustomed to the desert, sniffing the wind in her craving. In her heat, who can restrain her? Any males that pursue her need not tire themselves. At mating time, they will find her. Do not run until your feet are bare and your throat is dry. But you said, it's no use. I love foreign gods and I must go after them. As a thief is disgraced when he is caught, so the people of Israel are disgraced. They, their kings and their officials, their priests and their prophets. They say to wood, you are my father, and to stone, you gave me birth. They have turned their backs to me and not their faces. Yet when they are in trouble, they say, come and save us. Where then are the gods you made for yourselves? Let them come if they can save you when you are in trouble. For you, Judah, have as many gods as you have towns. Why do you bring charges against me? You have all rebelled against me, declares the Lord. In vain I punished your people. They did not respond to correction. Your sword has devoured your prophets like a ravenous lion. Philippians 4. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntek to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the Book of Life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any way and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except only you. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Psalm 75. For the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy, a psalm of Asaph, a song. We praise you, God. We praise you for your name is near. People tell of your wonderful deeds. You say, I choose the appointed time. It is I who judge with equity. When the earth and all its people quake, it is I who hold its pillars firm. To the arrogant, I say, boast no more. And to the wicked, do not lift up your horns. Do not lift your horns against heaven. Do not speak so defiantly. No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt themselves. It is God who judges. He brings one down, he exalts another. In the hand of the Lord is a cup full of foaming wine mixed with spices. He pours it out and all the wicked of the earth drink it down to its very dregs. As for me, I will declare this forever. I will sing praise to the God of Jacob, who says, I will cut off the horns of all the wicked, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up. Proverbs 24:17-20. Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When they stumble, do not let your heart rejoice, or the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from them. Do not fret because of evildoers or be envious of the wicked, for the evildoer has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. Okay, so we've already spent some time talking about Jeremiah, this new prophetic book that we are moving into. So I don't want to spend a bunch of time right now, but we've closed the letter to the Philippians today as well. And Philippians ends with some very, very well-worn verses that are very often quoted, and probably a good portion of us know them. We've all probably heard them, but probably know them by heart. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which we would maybe more popularly know, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And we stand on that. And when somebody in our sphere of influence is going through something, oftentimes we'll say that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus, as a way of saying it's going to be okay. And there's literally nothing wrong with encouraging each other in this way. It's just that that's not all of it. That's not all that was being said here. Like, there's a precursor and sort of a post-reflection on this verse that sits sort of in the middle of an idea or a thought. And so when we just lift out, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, we're missing most of it. And we can use that verse as a way of encouragement, but it's not some sort of incantation. Like, just because we say it doesn't mean the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds just because we quote this verse. Our participation is actually required. And so let's just look at this again in context so that we see that we have a role to play. And so I'm quoting from Paul. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Okay, so there's part one. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then Paul goes on, let your gentleness be evident to all. That's part two. Be aware that the Lord is near. That's part three. Do not be anxious about anything. Part four, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That's part five. There are five things before we get to, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. So, yes, the peace of God that is beyond our understanding, that passes our understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Jesus. We have to collaborate in activating that. Rejoice, be gentle, be aware of the Lord's presence, do not be anxious about anything, and in every situation, have a thankful heart. Be conversational with God. Let him know what's going on. Present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. let's just remember, we have to participate on our faith journey. And then immediately following that, as Paul is closing this letter, we are told how to aim our hearts and minds. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. So indeed, life can be chaos, and we can't think clear, and we can't see clear sometimes. And indeed, the presence of the Holy Spirit, when we become aware of it, does calm us down, does indeed bring peace. But to cultivate a life where we are living at peace, in shalom, peace that passes all understanding, that guards us, our heart and our mind, then we have to actively incubate these things. An attitude of rejoicing, gentleness, awareness of God's presence, not being anxious about anything, but in everything, praying with thanksgiving, thinking about what is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. It's like not that much of a leap to simply understand, yeah, I guess if that's what I'm focusing on, if that's what I'm seeking and looking for, and that's what I'm observing in this world and in my life, then yes, that would change things considerably based on the sort of things that I obsess about all of the time. So let's understand, as Paul is closing Philippians and we are closing Philippians and preparing to move forward tomorrow, it's all available to us. It's not going to just fall in our laps as if we could take it or leave it, as if we don't even care about the gifts that are being bestowed. We have to interact. We have to collaborate. And when we do, God is putting back together what is broken in us and in the world, because shalom, the way things are supposed to be, is what God is doing. And we get the opportunity to collaborate with that. May we do that, brothers and sisters. May we begin to realize there really is a better way to be. We can follow the culture. We can obsess about whatever we want to obsess about, or numb ourselves in whatever way we want to numb ourselves, or we could press into what Paul is saying, understanding that these postures lead somewhere, and that place is good. And so, Father, we thank you for your word and another day. A lot of transition, transitioning weeks, months, books, and in it all, you continue to speak to us and transform us, and we are grateful. And we need your help with this. We confess we're not rejoicing in you all the time. We're not being gentle enough to be evident to all the time. We're not aware that you are near all the time. Sometimes we can't figure out where you went. And we certainly can't claim that we're anxious about nothing, because we're anxious about lots of things. And we confess that in every situation, we're not thankful and prayerful. And so we realize that we have some work to do in self-discipline, in shifting our orientation, understanding that it is all available. Peace that passes understanding is available. But we have to surrender to you and collaborate with you in cultivating what it takes to move in that direction. So come, Holy Spirit, into this. May we walk a new path. The path where peace does pass all understanding and guards us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is, that's home base. That's where you find out what's going on around here. Mobile home base is the Daily Audio Bible app that sits in the palm of your hand. And you can download that free from whatever app store is connected to your device. And so check that out. And then you can find things like the community section. And in the community section, there are different links to different social media channels that we participate in. And so if there's an announcement and stuff like that, it's going to be following along. But also, that is home of the prayer wall there in the community section. And the prayer wall is, well, that's where it lives. And that's where it stays. And it's always available, day or night, 24 hours a day, rain or shine, it is available to us. And we can go there, middle of the night, middle of the morning, and share what's going on and ask our brothers and sisters to come around side of us because we're dragging things that are too heavy for us and we need prayer. And we need to know we're not alone. That's the place to go. That's also the place to go to offer encouragement, to go and see that brothers and sisters are struggling just like the rest of us, and to let each other know, I've got you. I'm walking with you. I may be 5,000 miles from you. I may be on the other side of the world, but I've got you. In spirit, we're knit together. We're walking together. You're not alone. That makes an awful lot of difference. So certainly be aware of the prayer wall there in the community section, either on the website at dailyaudiobible.com or in the app. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anybody who will listen, no matter where they are, no matter what time it is, and to build community around this rhythm of showing up for each other every day, showing up to take the next step forward, if that is life to you, then thank you for being life-giving. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi everybody, it's Rachel from Devon in the UK. I've just listened to Brian's commentary or devotional on wives submit to your husbands and husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. And oh my gosh, my heart is full. My heart is full of pain for myself as I went through abuse for 20 years and I've now married the man that I should have married in the first place, and I'm very happy, and I'm very grateful that I know that man would lay his life down for me, and I'd gladly submit to him. But I would ask for your prayers as I try and digest some truths about my past marriage, which was really abusive, but very subversively. So never abusive physically, just spiritually and emotionally, financially, and always very hidden. But my heart is broken still from from that 20 years, 20, nearly 25 years of being with that man. And my heart is also grieving for all those women and people in broken marriages and in abusive marriages. And so, yeah, A, pray for me, if you would, that I know how to deal with the aftermath of 20 years of abuse, and also pray with me for people in abusive marriages. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Good evening, my Daily Audio Bible family. This is David Browning from Savannah, Georgia, and I'm calling in on the 26th of September. I'm calling in for a woman that she didn't give her name, but she's from Norway. She has children. She's pregnant. She has a boyfriend that doesn't want to get married. She has a pastor that's telling her that she needs to be married. And, oh, lady, I pray for you. My life is, my mother was, she had me. I have two sisters from different fathers. She was promiscuous and made mistakes. But you know what? There was a time when we were children that she took us to church. And taking us to church changed her life. And in changing her life, it made an impact on mine. And the reason that I'm walking with Christ today is because my mother faced that shame. She went into that church as a single mother with three children. And that church accepted her. And I pray that you will find a church that accepts you as you are and your children. I pray for that for you. Take your children to church, and if that pastor does not accept you, he is in the wrong, and I will pray for him. So I pray God bless you. I pray you find friends. Look for other women friends that you can talk to. Just get your children in the Word. Teach your child in the way they should grow. And when they are up.
Good day, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Daniel, the Wholehearted, calling from North Carolina. And I just want to say, Brian, thank you for being a great pastor and for being so faithful to minister to us. I wanted to call in to pray for the young man who called on the 26th, saying that he just doesn't know. He doesn't know if he's a Christian. And I think you may have called before. There was a guy who called a little while back saying that he just didn't fit in. And I just want to encourage you and let you know that, you know, the Christian is a label. It's in the Bible. You know, being a little Christ, it was a way of people making fun of people who followed Jesus. This day and age, it means maybe something different, but for those of us who are Christians and who really follow Christ, you know, it's a badge of honor. And my prayer for you is that you would receive the gift of faith from God, and that He would lead you into the loving relationship that He desires to have with you. Let me pray. Father, I pray for this man, this brother, and Lord, I ask that you'd give him that gift of faith, and that you would give him the gift of the sense of your presence, Lord, and that you would love him, you would hug him, and you would show how much the relationship matters and how much being close to you matters, regardless of labels given by man. Just pray all this in Jesus' name. Be blessed.
Good morning, Daily Audio family. This is Lucy calling from Iowa for Calissa. As an adoptive mom who traveled that infertility journey, you said you were waiting for those, trying to find patience for those to convince them you'll be a good mom. That's not our journey. Our journey is when our child is there, they will come to us. I have said this to other adoptive moms. It's always easier once you've got your child in your arms. But when the time is right, your child will be there for you. No convincing others. My son is 21. I have a good friend whose daughter just turned 18. I have another friend whose son just turned 10. When our child needed us, they came to us. Your child will come to you.
Good morning, Dabbers. My sisters and brothers in Christ. This is Running Desperately to Jesus, also known as Staying Desperately Connected to Jesus. It's been a long while since I have called, I know. And since that time, I have been through so much, it feels like. But there was a lady, that came on, and I cannot remember. I believe it was September 11th, and she was speaking of maybe feeling the fog or something while she was driving over the bridge. And you said the only thing, the simple thing to say is God is in it with me. And it even to say it with your job and the anxiety. I asked God 25 years ago if I could be a social worker with the school. He opened that door for me. And sometimes you have to be really aware of whatever you're blessed with. Sometimes there might be other things that come along with it. I never knew I had anxiety, but I have it bad. I'm a school social worker, and I've never felt this anxiety as intense. But as you said, my sister in Christ, Jesus is in this. God is in this. He is with me. He's standing with me. I know that I can do this. I retired in 2019. I went back out into the field again, into the social work field. And I'm kind of, in a sense, having the same feelings that I had when I wanted to retire from the prior job. Anxiety, frustration, not sleeping. But I know that God is in control. And now my job is on the line because I need to take a particular test that should have been taken back in years ago. Pray for me, y'all. Running Desperately to Jesus, also known as Staying Desperately Connected.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Alexis Rosario calling in for the first time. I've been listening for 8, 9, 10 years. I don't know, and love all of you and pray with you every day. But specifically today, I'm going to pray over a brother who sent a message on the 26th of September about not knowing that if he was a Christian or not, not knowing what to do or who to turn to. And I'm just praying over you, brother. He did not leave your name. You can reach out to me at MRSRROSARIO on Instagram. But I would just encourage you to seek a relationship with Christ rather than the box of religion. And I would encourage you to every morning do three. I was just going to throw this out there. Three things. And you're already doing one. Every morning when you get up and you take that first breath in the morning, you thank God. You thank God for the skin on your bones and that you can wiggle your toes and then you can take a breath. And then you go about your day and you enjoy it. You do the things you love. And listen to the daily audio Bible like you have been doing. And then at noon, you give a praise to God. Thank you, Lord, for today. And then you go from there. And if there's toxic relationships in your life, you get away from it. So just praying over you. Also praying for my sister in Norway, who is pregnant and feels judgment. And if there's judgment in that church, you go to a new church. And you're in the right place to listen to daily audio Bible. Shout out to Blind Tony. And love you all.